Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you Dark Tangent.
Hey, everybody. I'd say this was a pretty successful con, don't you think? Pretty good? It was particularly rewarding on a couple of levels. I'm sure you can guess what those may be. I want to thank you for coming to the closing ceremonies. We have a lot of contests we're going to go through. We have a lot of people to thank. And we have a lot of results to share with you. So we're going to try to do it fairly quickly so it doesn't drag on for more than an hour or so. But you're going to see some pretty interesting stuff, and you're going to hear from some teams who made some pretty interesting breakthroughs to win the awards they're going to win. So before we kick things off, I've got a general announcement for everybody. Anybody has any footage of the whole Dateline NBC thing, the press people want to see it. They're trying to make sort of a best of reel. But, I know. Okay. And so we want to have that all together, and we're going to post it on the DEF CON site also, just to make sure the love is shared outside of YouTube. Also, we want to remind you to upload any pictures or videos you have to pics.defcon.org. And if it doesn't accept video right now, it'll accept video in a day or two. And we're trying to turn that into a giant repository of your memories. Sure, upload them to Flickr and tag them and everything. But I'm paying for this picture software stuff that we're not using much of. We've got lots of disk space. And we really want to store the information as opposed to like DEFCON picks, they just link to other people's archives. We want to try to store them. So as you guys get busted and servers go down, we have a good place for them all to live. Okay, so I have a quick show of hands. How many people thought this year was better than last year? Yeah, right on. It was great. And no fire marshal, yeah. So you think if we come back next year and get all the space at the end of the hallway, you think we want to come back here? Is this going to be good for us? What do you think? Yeah. I think it's going to work out really well. I'll just have more tracks of speaking. Who liked the more content? So pretty good? You guys like that? I've been wanting to do 5 tracks of speaking for, 10 years. And finally, I've gotten the space to do it. So, and another day, started on Thursday, like no sleep. Hey, what happened to my other notes here? Darn it. Oh no, I lost a very critical note. Let's see, no, that's $20. I'm not going to share that with you. Darn it. Ah. This is very important. This is a new contest I'm going to be announcing shortly. Okay, so we've got everything out of the way except for feedback. I need you to email me, dtangent@defcon.org, any feedback from cool DJ sets to, bad Bloody Marys at the bar, whatever it is, let me know what worked for you and what didn't. Or go to the forums, forum.defcon.org. Both are all HTTPS enabled. We've been toying with the idea of preventing you from going to them without HTTPS. But you can, use that at your own risk. After seeing what happens on the Wall of Sheep, you probably don't want to. I really like the ferret, or was it the gerbilizer? The gerbilizer was brutal on Gmail. The thing was hamsterized, yeah. That was brutal. Okay, so here's the plan. This is what we're going to do. I would like to quickly thank... There's two sides of the organization that make this whole thing possible. There's sort of the contest and the content side, and then there's the ops side. And every day I sort of live the day-to-day back-end life. And there's several people that make that possible. We have webmasters, we have people that do design work, and they lay the foundation for the operations side. And those are all the teams you see here, everything from dispatch to press control to the NOC. So, to quickly thank all the different groups, we've got Zach over here who runs operations during DEF CON while I'm over at Black Hat. There's not a very long cord. It hangs right there. Okay. Hey, guys.
It is my 14th DEF CON, and I can't believe I'm still fucking here. Okay, so normally I'd give a shout out to literally everyone that helped on the con, but there's bazillions of us now, so I'm just going to thank each department in turn. So, first of all, the classic red shirt goon. Give it up for them. The network operations staff who give you your 20 megabits of bandwidth, which you maxed out this year. Info booth, over here. Registration, who reg 7,000 people in double quick time, despite running out of badges. Twice. The contest guys, Russ and Cole. So, vendors who kept things selling for all you guys that like the swag, give it up. We have the speaker control guys who last year was the first time ever. Everything went on time, and I think pretty much the same thing happened this year. Speaker control. And also up there, dispatch, who makes sure we get shit done on time. Now, I'd also like to thank our press people, because they were outstanding this year. Give it up for the press. We also have, there's an ass load of stuff, a metric ass load, in fact, that has to get shipped in and out of here. So, QM stores, quartermasters. And also, all the guys that did black and white, they did an awesome job this year. And we also didn't get shut down either. Fantastic. The guys that sorted out our skyboxes. Yep. And last but not least, I can't actually see them around, the guys from the hotel that sorted things out. Teresa, who runs convention services for us. Hey! Give it up. Top girl. Sorted out all our problems. And the other person you really need to give thanks to is Doug, head of security, for putting up with all your shit. So, thanks to everyone that put the show on, and thanks to all the guys that worked during the year to actually make sure we had our fabulous programs and badges and all the content that goes on the site. So, thank you very much to the back office crew. And without further ado, I'll hand you back to Jeff. Thanks, guys. Great con.
Awesome. Right. Okay, so we've got the... I want to go through. I want to thank some charities. We raise a lot of money. Every year we raise money for the EFF with the dunk tank. Yep. Give it up to the EFF. And we also raise some money for the Hacker Foundation. Yep. So we're going to be dealing with that. And then we're going to go through all the contests, and then we're going to end with a new contest. We have a winner this year, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I'm going to read this prepared statement. Spot the Fed has been a long-standing tradition here at DEF CON. And those attending DEF CON over the years will attest to the fact that one of the most coveted pieces of swag at DEF CON are the I Spotted the Fed t-shirt. Despite reports to the contrary, the relationship between DEF CON and the law enforcement community is one of mutual respect. Every year, members of the federal law enforcement community attend DEF CON and participate in Meet the Fed sessions, which provide a unique opportunity to meet face-to-face with federal agents and discuss issues and concerns. But this year, we hope to begin a new tradition here at DEF CON, Marry a Fed. Regardless of the position or circumstance, love is always with us, and even feds have a softer side. So,
In that tradition, at the end of this award ceremony, very briefly, we're talking like 5 minutes or less, Treasury Special Agent Andrew Fried and Laura Askey, who also happens to be a Fed, will exchange wedding vows, and all of you are invited to attend. They'll be the first to receive the new I Married a Fed at DEF CON t-shirt. So make sure you stick around for that first. Okay, so if I could get a representative of the EFF up here, I'd be happy to give them some moolah. If not, it'll have to go through mail, certified. Hello. We raised...
Your name? Kurt. Okay.
This is Kurt from the EFF, representing them here, DEF CON. And the dunk tank raised over $4,000 of your money. Yeah. And as you you astute observers know, every year we at DEF CON like to sort of pad that a little bit, round it up to the next biggest number. Until I heard that our very own Jennifer Granick, who's Preggers, is moving from Stanford to the EFF. Right on.
We are very delighted. We are very thrilled to have Jennifer join us, and it's going to be really great to strengthen our practice helping defend your rights.
So... we wanted to make sure that we got Jennifer and her two kids off on the right foot, so we rounded the 4,000 up to 12,000.
Yeah! Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good.
Okay, next we've got the Hacker Foundation. I'm guessing our own Agent X from Speaker Control is going to say a quick word on that, and then we're going to move on to the contest.
No, I'm not. But we'd like to thank DEF CON. We'd like to thank all of you for your support of the Hacker Foundation. We're a new foundation, and your support is incredibly critical to getting stuff like Hackers on a Plane going and Hackerspace Initiative. Without you, there's nothing. So give, give, give. Thank you very much.
So there's a couple ways this could go for contests, but I want to kind of start it off with a bang. We're going to introduce Joe Grand with his badge hacking contest, because how many of you thought this was the fucking coolest badge you've ever seen? Yeah. This badge is a total winner. Now, my problem is, as an organizer, what WTF next year? I mean, what am I going to do about this next year? Well, I've got about 9 months to worry about it. I want to... More electronic badges? You want them to, like, shock you and control your heart rate? Yeah, LCD. Freaking laser beams. So I'm going to have Joe come up here. He's going to talk about the badge hacking contest. We have a winner, which requires that this CD get played on that sound system. And I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I'm going to go hand this off to the sound guy while Joe takes it over. Oh. Agent X is going to hand it over there. When you get the signal, you got to kick that on. For those of you who remembered, well, what happened last year, Joe's going to take it to a whole new level. So with that said, where is Mr. Grand? Mr. Grand. Oh, I also want to point out, I don't know how public this is, but you're looking at Joe Smooth, as we like to call him around the office. Joe, yeah, that's Joe Smooth with a zero. And he's got his own TV show put on by the people who created... Oh, no. He doesn't have a TV show. Nothing. Didn't hear that. Nothing going on. Nothing going on. He's not Joe Smooth.
All right, now that he's blown my cover... all right, I'm going to make this quick. Oh, what? Someone's heckling me already. I'm Joe Grand, Kingpin. I designed the badge. For those of you who were here last year, you saw a new piece of hardware, electronics for the badge. This year we tried to do some cooler stuff with it. We had a badge hacking contest for those of you guys who made it to the talk on early Friday morning, went through the whole process about the badge. But basically, what we wanted to see is you guys in this hacker community modify these things and do something with these badges because you were wearing them around your neck all weekend. So. Anyway, we had about 40 development kits that we actually gave out. Actually, they had to buy a T-shirt, and then they got the development kit for free. thanks to Freescale, for people to hack these badges, all the extra parts that they might need. And surprisingly, this is where I'm going to boo you guys. Out of 40 kits that we gave out and all of these components, there was only 7 formal entries to the badge hacking contest. So how many of you guys actually did anything who took those parts? Okay, there's more than 7, so why didn't you submit? Yeah, all right. Anyway, hopefully we'll see some more modifications next year. As I mentioned at my talk, these badges, you can hack them throughout the year, and then we're going to have sort of a mini contest next DEF CON, because they're so complicated. Hopefully we'll be able to do something with it. But for now, there were actually people that did some stuff in 3 days. I want to give just a few honorable mentions. There's tons of stuff that happened. Mike Chiraldi, this guy in New York, actually couldn't make it to DEF CON, so he created a badge emulator in Python with a game of Pong that actually worked. So that's up on the DEF CON forum somewhere. That's kind of cool. Slot Machine, Game of Life, Tetris, if you guys worked on. One guy hacked a piece of plastic to look like a white human badge, stenciled human on it, and got through security. So, we have his picture. We know who you are. But we'll have to work on that next year. What else? Some arcade games. Zaz made a stack-up game. There was some cool software stuff. Scrolling text lock for all you guys that had trouble walking around and bouncing around and the message would change. Someone did that because I didn't have enough time. 36-character buffer, clock, blink text. All this stuff's going to be available on my website with source code and links so you guys can continue to hack it. And there'll be pictures and all that stuff. So the actual contest results, other than all of the honorable mentions where there's 5 software entries, 1 hardware entry, which I'm kicking myself over because I spent a lot of time putting those extra parts on there in 1 case mod. Second place is Slackers, Botan, and Dov, who made a single sign-on generator that was coupled with the pGina software, and there was like a custom plug-in, so this thing could generate one-time passwords, and they'd be able to log into Windows and stuff. So that was cool. Wherever they are. And you can come up and get some shirts. All right, so now first place goes to a bunch of different people. This is like the classic kind of hacker community, and this is exactly what I wanted to see, is there's like a whole group of people working together to do some really cool stuff. Team Azogado, which is Len Sassaman, also known as Rabbi, Meredith Patterson, Dustin Cooper, Martin Murray, Tongen, Maxi Nux. You guys can sort of make your way up here, and we have some shirts and a USB turntable something here. But basically what they did, I'm just going to explain it a little bit, and then you'll get to hear the rest. They made a line level meter for less than $10 that would turn this display into an actual meter for analog input, for audio input. It's like a one-channel analog-to-digital converter, 3 shades grayscale fading. The buttons can adjust the input level, and they almost had iPod control. So that was pretty awesome. They're down here. But what I think we need to do is turn the lights off like we did last year. We're going to set the mood. Anybody who doesn't want their picture taken, cover your face. And, put your badges in POV mode if they still have batteries left. And if they're locking up, it's because they don't have batteries anymore. And wave them all in the air and get busy. So can we play the remainder of what they did for this contest? Yeah, why is there a spotlight on me?
Hours of time that I spent, 2 nights on my honeymoon, oh how I lament, 3 seconds for revision just to get the shit right, 800,000 tickets that will bring down the lane, 6,000 hackers win the badge, all in the name of glory, if you wanna learn more, just hit the fucking story, a matrix of LEDs, 5 columns, 19 rows, 2 coin cells will make them flow, 6 packs, got a solid mask, colors that you wanna show, gotta be up in the first, or fucking Uber bro, on the power of the badge will not make a beat, but it's not the shit, it's only just a sleep, touch the top of the icon, like you just get a text message that's intended just for you. Just stop iconic and try not to fucking move. Simple elementary dismo is contemplate. And I'm Joe Grin, aka Kingpin. Just like badges, I'll make your head spin. Back up, bitches, I'm far from soft. I hack a not a poet, I represent law. I'm Joe Grin, aka Kingpin. Just like badges, I'll make your head spin. Back up, bitches, I'm far from soft. I hack a not a poet, I represent law. Here's a part of my climb, the beginning of a quest. And you see the rack on the cycle to the list.
my guys are saying to count to you. 16 letters is the max that we do. When it's all done, see you on the solid block. Tap all five guys and message will walk. Next phone says read inscription. Change it like a drug prescription. Select velocity between 1 and 5, which goes from slow and far to a miles of ride drive. Now we arrive at our last bad state. It's a special vision treat that will shove up in your face. Flame your badge up to your eyes in one direction. The secret measure drops up like mortis resurrection. The source code is open. Schematics are prettier. Now you can be a fucking hacking motherfucker.
I'm Joe Brand, aka Kingpin. Just like badges, I'll make your head spin. Back up, bitches, I'm far from soft. I ain't not a poet, I represent law. I'm Joe Brand, aka Kingpin. Just like badges, I'll make your head spin. Back up, bitches, I'm far from soft. I ain't not a poet, I represent law.
Alright, thank you guys. We'll see you next year with something new. Those are the lyrics from his poem, if you hadn't guessed.
Okay, well, we'll have it posted.
We'll post on the forums the link to the MP3 if you want to download it.
Sweet, okay.
So we're going to start it off with a bang with Joe. I'm going to hand it over to Russ now, who watches over all the contests. He's going to go through them all, specify the winners. We're going to do it as quick as we can and still try to get you all the interesting information. And then we're going to move on to our new contest. So take it away, Russ.
Holy shit, you kept me busy this year. You all owe me a beer. Not all at the same time. All right, like Jeff said, we're going to keep this as quick as possible. I'm going to start with the three fundraising activities we had. So if I could have Hackajar up here from the summit, just give you a quick... he's working his way through the goons now.
Irish has a bad sense of humor back there. So we had the summit on Thursday night. Say that. So we had the summit on Thursday night. It's a fundraiser that the local crew, Vegas 2.0, raised. You might have seen us running around in the trench coats all weekend long. We've been trying to raise money for the EFF for the last 3 years, and this year we decided to split it up between the EFF and the Hacker Foundation. We did have a record year this year. We raised $5,837. So that's pretty nice to add to EFF's pool and get Hacker Foundation off to a great start. I wanted to make some really quick special thanks. The Big Beat Battalion, they were a nerdcore band we had performing. They're a local band. They had their hit song, We Rock Like Geology. Played that there. We had DJ C-Sly end the night with the After Hours. Also, I wanted to thank Lost. He added some extra money with his mystery contest. He auctioned off some keys at the contest, and he raised $475 in about 5 minutes for keys. And also, 8E, he came in and said, well, I can do some freestyle nerdcore if you want. So he said, well, just bring me a sheet of paper with any geek topic, buffer overflow, knob sleds, whatever, and he'll just start rapping about it. And so in about 35 minutes, he raised about $210 with people just giving him money to free flow geek. And he did a really good job of it. And thank you, definitely. This summit is all about bringing all of the speakers, all of the well-known names at DEF CON into one small room and give you an opportunity to just hang out and mingle with them. So I want to thank all of the speakers who attended and all the great well-known faces in DEF CON. We really appreciate your support. And finally, I just want to thank all the people who are Vegas 2.0. That's Stretch, Izer, Packet Baron, Dallas, Ohm, Lazuli, and Mithra. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Right. Thanks, ma'am. All right, Siviak, do you want to talk about the toxic barbecue? He has disappeared. Who's coming up? When do you carnivores get up here?
Good afternoon, everybody. What we really wanted to do was we just wanted to get up here and we wanted to say thank you to everybody who's contributed over the years to helping us throw the toxic barbecue. It started a couple years back when we wanted to just get together with everybody and eat some food. We just wanted to cook some meat and hang out and socialize. And that first year, we started about 75 people. And now we've grown to about 400 or 500 people. So Sunset Park doesn't like us too much anymore. how many people here actually went to the barbecue? If you get a little show of hands. So we have a good little following. And this year, we did have a little bit of an issue where we had the cops show up. The cops showed up about 7:30 and told us to get lost by 8:30 because we had too many people. So what we're going to do is with the donations that you guys have helped us provide, help provide us with a way to run the barbecue again next year, we're actually going to reserve a place in the park. And so we will not get shut down again, and we're going to actually try and grow even bigger. So what I want to do right now is I want to turn it over to Deviant here to talk about the Titanium Chef and Guess the Flesh.
All right. How you doing? I always like to start out anytime I can just to remind everyone how great the good vibes are. All the energy you bring to the events, all the games, all the participation, that's what makes DEF CON happen. It's not us, it's all of you guys, so thank you. So, the Toxic Barbecue this year, we had some new games. We had some exotic meat events. One was sort of this Titanium Chef Challenge, a lot like the Iron Chef. There were three terrific teams that showed up. They absolutely blew me away with what they created on the fly. Show your hands. Team Schemers, are you here? Schemers, no, you're not here. Well, you were awesome. Go ahead. Team Pseudoers? This was actually a team consisting exclusively of vegetarians who showed up just to cook. And lastly, Team Smoke. We had the theme ingredient this year of hog and swine to be as offensive as possible to all religions. And these, everybody just laid it down unbelievably so. It was amazing what they created. We also had a game called Guess the Flesh, where people were given samples of about 6-7 different animals and tried to identify them. This one cat, Josh, knocked the whole thing out and blew us away. So is Josh here? You've got prizes coming up here. All right, you're going to get Josh's prizes? We were all so amazed and so impressed. One sec, I'll give them to you. With the Titanium people, but ultimately, when we all discussed it, the winners were Team Smoke. Very, very nice. Very amazing work. So you're going to get free Oink accounts and free laptops. And go ahead. Yes, from some. You also get, there was Titanium like camping cookware. You know, resistant to crushing, resistant to corrosion. The TSA did manage to break it. Your government working for you, breaking titanium. And you get genuine brand used laptops. So we had a great time. We hope to see you all at Toxic Barbecue 5.
And we're going to talk about the beer, or you want to wrap up? Talk more.
Just thanks again, guys, and just keep the donations going because we're building it as we go along. And with the extra meat that we have, we feed these guys up here and these guys down here. So give it up for them. Thank you.
Stealth, can you come up for a dunk tank, please? We actually ended up with a little bit more money at the tank than I had given to DT earlier. So
I got three.
Wow, there's a lot of people out there.
Anybody get count on badges?
Woo.
Hey, well, since 1990, the EFF has been defending digital rights And whether it's taking on AT&T for sharing data of yours with the NSA or defending bloggers' rights, they've been there for us and defending our rights and our electronic freedoms. DEF CON's always been a big supporter of this, and we do a dunk tank each year to raise money, and we try a number of other crazy things along the way. But this year we were more successful than in any year of the past. I'd like to thank my team members, Eric, Dave, Dan, and all the other people that helped us out. And I'd certainly like to thank all of you that came out and donated and threw the balls and sunk some of the dunkies, all the speakers we had in the tank, and a number of other people. It worked out really great and was a lot of fun. So now to the real numbers. We raised, at a dollar a toss, $4,719.25 from the dunk tank. But that's not all. We also encouraged people to come in and talk to the EFF at their booth in the vendor area and to make contributions there. And in that area, the EFF this year got 193 new members and $12,174 in donations. So let me tell you the grand total. So you put those two numbers together, and you add in the eight that DT graciously kicked in. This year, our grand total for the EFF is $24,893.25. Thank you all. Thank you all.
All right, I didn't let Deviant leave the stage. He's going to go through the beverage cooling contraption contest. If you've ever seen this, you've probably run screaming before you get blown up. He's got about 60 to 120 seconds to get through all this, so bear with him.
All right. So, the beverage cooling contraption contest had its second year this year. There were only two teams this year. I was surprised. Usually we get a nice big field, but these two guys really brought it, really did well. Team Hebrew, they were representing. Yeah, go Hillel House, all right. They had a really nice contraption, just dropped a coil down into a super-cooled vat of isopropyl alcohol and dry ice. They iced the lines a little bit. They had some spillage, but overall they had an amazing cooling run, their best run in a minute. Drop the beer down, severely. Like, the Vegas heat just kicks the beer's ass, and these people really, really knocked it down. So excellent, excellent job. And Renderman came back this year along with Eric for Beer Foo, and definitely with the Elegance of Simplicity Award, they use the isopropyl alcohol bath as well, but instead of, using lines that can freeze, they just used a giant Ziploc bag, compressed in between a frame, slapped it in, just swished it around, pulled it out, sliced the bag, dropped the beer, no spillage, no drip, no mess, no fuss, and achieved the almost the exact same figures. Because their cooling was cleaner than the others, they didn't have any spillage. Beer Foo is the official winner. Everyone who participated, everyone gets these lighters. Anyone else who wants them, just come find me. Our second place team, I have some DVDs for you guys. Beer Foo, however, last year, if you can remember, I had, got the mini bosses to sign one of their CDs as a grand prize. Well, they didn't have any of their CDs this year, but I did bring a DVD-R of every NES ROM ever, every SNES ROM ever, every Genesis ROM ever. So that, signed by the mini bosses, plus some drumsticks, is going to be your grand prize. Well done, fellas.
All right, Dr. Faustus, where are you? All right, so this year Dr. Faustus decided that cooling beer wasn't enough. He wanted people to actually make it. So we did have a little-known homebrew contest that he ran, and I'm going to give him a minute or so to talk about that and give out the prizes.
So, yeah. Decided to run a beer brewing competition this year. Obviously, it's not something you can just show up and do. These people spent several months making beer and bringing it to DEF CON, which is awesome. The grand prize is a 5-gallon glass carboy for brewing beer in that's got a DEF CON logo etched on it. But logistics of getting 5-gallon carboy through airport security, not so good. So that's going to be drop shipped to the winner. The winner this year of the beer brewing competition is Brian Gorenk. Is he here, Brian? Hi there, ladies and gentlemen. He made a great coffee porter that was really, really good. He'll be getting drop shipped his prize. I have his address. Number two was Synapse from the DEF CON forums. Can we get Synapse up here? Where are you, Synapse? Huh? Just keep going? All right, well, they donated a set of DEF CON beer glasses for second place. Third place, unfortunately, I didn't get his information, and he kind of disappeared. So he made a great Hefeweizen. Synapse made a great lager, an American-style lager. So if anybody brews beer, come on out next year. We'll be doing it again. And bring some beer down.
Scoot. Own the box contest.
Hey! Okay, so, you know, the whole intent of this was just to try to bring back the Defenders kind of category and some of the solo stuff for CTF and just find a non-sucky, non-boring way to do that. We're not going to say nobody got owned because we don't have balls nearly big enough to say that. I did not get any plain text from anybody, but I think a lot of people popped stuff and then went, oh, it's a Pentium 3. Never mind. So what I want to say is thanks so much to everybody. Everybody noticed the network visualization tool. This whole thing came up about a month before CON as just a random idea, and it has just blown my mind what the DEF CON community can do. I just asked a lot of people for help, and tons of people showed up to help out. There's two guys who are grad students who wrote a network visualization tool. It's an open source tool. It is at a site called inav.scapara.com. These guys came in 2 days before, plugged in, set up all this stuff, and they were running all the visualizations you saw in the contest area. They got two job offers, ran out of business cards, had somebody who offered to port their tool to C for them. There's some stuff that's in Java. So that was really fun. Their tool survived a very large DOS that you probably all saw that made a big giant blob up there for about 15 or 20 minutes. So they had a lot of fun. I want to thank Cisco Stu, DeviantAll and Tatsumori, the MSK guys, Puking Monkey, Zero by Bob, Iser, Stretch, Packet Baron, Hackajar, and all the Vegas 2.0 people who just randomly showed up and helped us all out. There is a guy named N. Bender who brought a Nexbox. It is a 1704 serial number early Nex Cube. He paid $16,000 for this box in 1992. He brought a 17-inch LCD. It's got a 68K proc. And he brought it to get owned. I mean, that was what he wanted. He just wanted to get it out of his house. And we had a dude. He didn't really have a handle. He's like a guy who works with some of the Booz Allen Hamilton guys. And he just literally lived in the room for the entire con. He was here till like 4 in the morning the first day until 2 in the morning the next day. I got here at like 9:40, and he's like, can we start? Can I go in? And it had a Tickle HTTP server and like Finger and a whole bunch of other crazy shit. Nick kept turning stuff on. He's like, come on, somebody. So it actually... He was this close. He's still cracking password hashes. So what Nick wanted to do is to ask anybody who is interested in this box, we're going to kind of raffle it off, and the money's going to go to EFF. Okay? So if anybody wants to find me, just find me out in the hallway here in a little while, and we're going to see who wants this box. So, and we had a lot of fun. You know, it was just a good time. Thanks, everybody, for your interest. I still have a shit ton of T-shirts, so I'm going to throw them out. Thanks.
All right, Coffee Wars, Foofus.
All right. We had 15 entries this year, which was down somewhat from previous, but the average quality, I think, was much higher. The top echelon was very close. So I wanted to start by saying thanks to Russ, to DT, the Goons, the Riviera staff, and all the people who entered or who stopped by just to say hi. We have two categories. The first is bang for the buck, which is the ratio of overall score to cost. And some people will remember DT's entry from the year before where he entered a coffee that was $180 a pound, pretty much setting an untouchable record, I think. So this year's average price of coffee was about $9.63. The least expensive coffee was Stan's Mix by Stan. And there's no prize for this, but he easily takes the lead with a price per pound of just $2. So DIY wins again. In other words, for every pound of coffee the rest of us get, he gets five. So way to go. So the top prize was very close. The runner-up lost by a margin of only 14 hundredths of a point, which is, I think, below whatever resolution we can actually claim with a straight face. She left early. She's not here, but Coffee Wars salutes Professor Rad. It was a great coffee. But the honor of the contest bids that we determine only one overall winner, and we couldn't be happier with who it is. From time to time, a judge does win Coffee Wars, and that's the case this year. And it would seem suspicious, except that the tasting is blind, and this guy gave his own coffee the lowest rating that it got, and he rated Professor Rad's coffee higher. So I don't think we can claim that he was poisoning the contest. So complete results will be in the forums shortly and on the coffeewars.org website later this week, and a full write-up sometime later when I get around to it. But at $12 a pound with an overall score of exactly 7.0, we honor Tweaked with his Ring of Fire coffee. Tweaked, come up here and get the Magic Coffee Wars special mug, custom created for you.
All right. We tried something a little bit different this year. I really honestly did not expect it to be as successful as it is. You're all a bunch of hackers, but it seems a lot of you play Guitar Hero as well. I'm a little confused and astounded by it because I walked in and saw hundreds of people standing around the table all playing air guitar with the guy that had the plastic guitar in front of the projector. And I had to remind myself that I'm at a hacker conference. So if we can get Panadero up here, give him a couple minutes to announce the winners of that.
Real quick, before I start, Deviant is looking for his winners. So if you're around here, come on up. I also want my three winners, if you're here, hopefully, come on up. I don't know why I did it, but I had this crazy idea that maybe it'd be cool to play Guitar Hero here at Con, and maybe I thought I was crazy that I was going to hump all of this equipment out here across from Virginia, but I did it, and I'm totally ecstatic that I did it. We ended up having about 36 contestants play, which was more than I could ever thought would play. Some quick thanks to Russ for letting me do it, for Mike, Chris, Danny, all you guys, especially for Danny. If you were over there, you knew we had some hardware problems. Danny was running all over Las Vegas trying to find a new Xbox. And so he really hooked me up, and I totally appreciate it. I want to thank UAT real quick for donating some prizes, and also you guys for making it such a good contest. We will be back next year, probably Guitar Hero 3, so everybody start practicing. Are any of my winners here? Or they all leave? Oh, come on up. If you were in there when the finals started, just a quick story about the median final that we had. The guys started playing, and we were all kind of watching the scores build and the scores build. As soon as they were done, the screen went blank. The scores came up, and Crash actually beat JTech by 303 points. And if you know anything about Guitar Hero, there's probably about one note. So, you know, the crowd went wild and everybody was excited. On the hard level, KB Zod was able to beat Ugly by about 35,000 points. And on the expert level, Evan Broder beat Carpal Tunnel by about 98,000 points. So, yeah. One last thing that I want to say. We had this idea to raise a little bit of money. So we had asked some of the contestants to donate some money, and you know, if they happen to win the contest, you know, they might get a little bit of chunk of it. But what we ended up coming up with was about $200 for ihackcharities.org, which is one of Johnny Long's charity sites, so we're going to send that over to him. Thanks, guys.
All right, Encryptor, are you in here? There he comes. All right, the Ninja Networks guys were trying to put some good contests together this year, and despite some networking issues, they still managed to have a pretty good contest. So we'll bring them up for a couple of minutes to take care of the winners. The name of the contest was the Freaking Challenge.
Thank you. We get Gene Eric, Oracle, and NQ Dai, and Temtel also. So inaugural contest this year, the first year, we thought it all begins with Tip and Ring, and it would be kind of cool to put together a challenge to test some of the old school freaking skills as well as some new stuff. Sorry. Special thanks to Naus, Ackle, Captain Hook, Cracker Jack, Octopussy, Pinguino, Sloth, and everybody at Ninja Networks. Also Temtel, Strom, The Prophet, everyone at Telefreak, which if you haven't been there is an extremely cool thing. Thanks to DT, Russ, Hackajar, and Zach for helping us set up. Thanks to PLA, and thanks to GTE for the door prize. Skills tested in this competition were DTMF recognition, speed dialing, freak trivia, circuit identification, and head-to-head DTMF tic-tac-toe using 1 through 9. And the awards were, for DTMF recognition, which consisted primarily of the Simon game, the highest score went to Gene Eric, which the only contestant with a technical workaround involving a laptop, some software to simulate a DSP, and a microphone. So you get some literature from No Starch, T-shirts and stickers, an envelope from Ninja Networks. Freak Trivia, Oracle, highest score. Also honorable mention on the speed dialing contest, he actually was at the table for, I want to say it was about 5 hours improving the score yesterday. Also highest score for speed dialing and aggregate score, Inky Dai. And he also gets the Exalted test set. We had a set of 30 randomly generated NAMPA compliant numbers, and it was all 30 correct in 129 seconds.
Yes.
And special thanks to Temtel for helping us set up and also for having an excellent aggregate score. Thanks to everyone who played. Thanks to everyone who played and everyone who just stopped by to play with the 66 blocks. It was really cool. Thanks. And we'll be back next year with even more freaking skills and hopefully even more convergence stuff, too. Thank you very much.
Thorn with the wireless contest.
Hi there. We ran the wireless contest this year. We factored it into a couple of different ways. I'd like, if they're here, Voltaire, Kyle, the RFID molesters, and the RFID idiots to come on up. We ran a couple of different contests. There was a tiered challenge that we had a whole pile of different units running. Voltaire came in first, followed by Kyle. The prize this year for doing that is tickets to the Richard Cheese concert down at Hard Rock tonight. We're hoping they can get there tonight. We also ran a couple of other contests, the WEP Challenge. Nobody got into that because the WEP machine died on us. technical difficulties. The WPA challenge, nobody entered, so we don't have any winners there. We did run an RFID challenge this year, which is a little bit different. We planted tags amongst a whole bunch of people in the contest area, and we had our team members then out chasing around trying to find who had implanted tags. And for the first time this year, we had some ladies kick ass, and they won quite handily. Yeah, that was the RFID molesters. Okay. Here's Z. She's one of them. And a distant second was the RFID idiots, and but they did well, too. They got four out of the tags that were running around out there. So, and I want to thank everybody that came up to the Wireless Village. We had a lot of work we put into it. Everybody that was in the Church of Wi-Fi had it running up in the skybox, and we appreciate all of you that came by. We had a great time putting it on, and we've been told we've been invited back for next year. So we want to thank you for helping us do that. Thanks a lot.
Just as a note, if there's any speakers in the room, if you could please go to the speaker room after all this, we'd appreciate it. All right, Riverside. Huh? This is the Wallace Sheep. It might...
Hey, Riverside, what's up?
You're a long ways away from the microphone, my friend. We still have sheep. It's all right, he was well under his 2 minutes. Thank you, my friend. All right. With amateur CTF, I need Virus X and the DC-949. Whoever is speaking for them up here, please. Yeah, you don't get the extra of his time. It doesn't work that way.
All right, we ran the amateur capture the flag contest, where basically we ran a bunch of servers, and we had teams try and capture the little flags that we put up there. They put their name on the board, they score points, and Sudoers was our winner. So come on up here, we got some prizes for you. Second place was Neg9, and we got third place prizes too for Robots Get Wedgies 2. Come on up, guys. Sudoers, you're getting a nice Wi-Fi antenna there. Hold that up there, Adrian.
Thanks, guys.
I'll let you do that.
It sounds like nobody's into going to Richard Cheese concert tonight. So Thorne has offered to auction those off after the award ceremony. So if you're interested, you can meet up with him outside in the hall. All right. We tried a new contest from the MSK security guys. I asked them what the name of their contest was, and they don't know. It's actually you were trying to hack into a shopping cart. So if I can get those guys up here for just a couple of minutes, just give you a really quick brief on what did and did not happen with that contest.
Thank you, everyone. First, I'd like to thank Russ for helping us set up the event, even though we don't know the name. It's a new technology that we kind of came up with for authentication and payment. And we figured the best place to do it would be over here because the best of the best from all around the world under one roof. So if no one was able to hack it, actually, within it's up for about 24 hours. No one was able to hack into it, but we'll try again next year. Got some contacts. If people want to contact us to try to do it over the internet, we can do that as well. But it's been a great experience. Everyone's been very nice, very helpful. Security, the team, everything.
What was it?
Yeah, all the people there. Yeah, everyone helped us out, and it's a great event.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Thank you.
All right, thanks to those guys. Next is the scavenger hunt with Civiac. I know he's here. I said there he is. He's jogging.
Guys, we had another great year of the scavenger hunt, as it is every year. I hope that we have provided at least a little bit of entertainment for everybody. All right, let's see here. I'd like to first of all thank IBU, Ghetto Hackers, Shadow Vice, and all the Portland crew. My voice for going on vacation a little early. This year we had about six teams. Everybody worked just as hard as they normally do for what that's worth. We had three that really pulled out. Let me know if you're here, guys. We've got Team Jailbait in number three. Come on up, guys. We've got some prizes for everybody. And a lot of fun stuff, a lot of fun stuff. We got a little old lady saying, "Where's the beef?" We actually had Team Om, who actually represented the greased-up deaf guy from Family Guy, and then was chased by a former running back. Lots of fun. Where's Romer? I know he's got a bunch of apples. That was fun. Who did get Silly Stringed? Anybody remember that? 10 cans of Silly String on one lucky contestant. Always a fun time. What everybody's waiting for, Team Def G. Can you guys go ahead and stand up? And Team Om. Can you guys go ahead and stand up as well? Raise your hand. There we go. We got a Team Def G is in second place. We got plenty of prizes for you guys, and Team Om actually took first by about 100 points. You guys, come on up. We really appreciate everybody putting up with us, dealing with our shenanigans and our hijinks, even when they turn a little creepy. And I really suggest that everybody else give it a shot. It's a lot of fun. I did it long enough. You can too. Thanks.
All right, thanks to those guys. All right, Kalahara with the DEF CON robots. Yeah, we're beginning the official contest thing here where the winners of these contests tend to get what everybody covets, and that's the black badge of DEF CON, which is you do get free admittance forever, but we get your soul. It's a fair trade, usually. You're not using it anymore? We got a vampire in the back somewhere.
Thank you. Could I have the first, second, and third place teams coming up right now? So this year's robot contest, similar to last year, we're still doing airsoft bots that are shooting down targets 10 feet away completely autonomously. So all you can do is push go, and then you have 2 minutes to shoot down all your targets. So the biggest change this year was we went from a timed heat last year to two identical arenas, and both teams went at it at the same time. Fastest one to shoot him down won, and it was a double elimination tournament. So we have some prizes here for third place with a fastest time of 2 minutes was HBL. With the second place was Team Asimov 1 with a fast time of 53.6 seconds. He says it was 35 seconds. And then for first place, we have the team that also took first place last year. Last year's time was, I think, 45 seconds. This year, they took it in 16.6 seconds. Team Octopi. And, of course, the black badge.
Basically, we spent a lot of time and put a lot of effort into this. Some of the major improvements we made from last year was some hardware interrupts, so we knew exactly when our bot was done moving, so that we could then shoot.
The main thing I want to say is that before we started this project, we didn't really know anything about robotics or computer vision, and you just basically got to figure out that you want to do something and learn a way to learn, and it worked out, so...
So next year's contest will be similar. We hope to have a hardware kit available that people will be able to buy in a couple of months. And for those people that know software but not hardware, maybe we can get some more entries next year. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Kalahar for his hard work. Doc with the lock picks. Dude, you guys are going nuts at the Lockpick Village. I tried to go in there the other day. I could barely get in the door. Yeah, I don't know how you're picking locks. I can't fart in there, you know? There's no room.
He did fart in there, so don't even let him fool you. Okay, you already heard it. We need more space, so we're pushing for that. We had an incredible turnout this year in the Lockpick Village. You cannot believe how much excitement and intensity was up there. We got a lot of great feedback. We had a lot of great people up there. There are actually three contests that are associated with the lock picking and lock picking village. There's one thing I want to show you. No, it's not what you think it is. This is a lock pick set. This is something that was in high demand this weekend. The vendor area sold out of them. Every piece that we had rentable up in the Lockpick Village is gone now. Okay, tremendous, tremendous turnout. I did need to mention, if you're part of Team Smoke, Deviant asked me to do that. You have not claimed your laptop yet. You have about 30 seconds, and then he's going to give it away to somebody else. Okay, I need the following people to come up, please. I need Skylar Town, Steve Beck, Chris Pentecoff, Sam Duffley, and Wes Klein. Okay, while they're coming up, first off, I need to thank Tool US for all the work that you've done. We could not have made this work without you. Volunteers are key to making these things work. There was also a lot of individual contributions as part of this contest. That includes Deviant, all the Deviant's folks, Skylar Town, who's also here as well. Big part of what was going on. So let me do this quickly. The three contests. One was the skills competition, which was done in the contest area. One was the field stripping competition, which is brand new. And one was the points competition, which is the event that happens up in the village where you gather the most points. The skills competition is the black badge, so I'm going to save that till the last. All right. The new one, field stripping competition. This was put together by Skyler Town. Thank you, Skyler. This one you had to disassemble and reassemble a lock and make it work when you got done with it. Quite interesting. All right. I'll hand out prizes once I'm done talking about all these, but just so you know, Steve Beck is your winner for that one, and Sam Duffley took second place. All right, now for the points competition. Okay, we had over 70 people sign up for this competition. We had a lot of people that I'm not sure decided to leave this weekend in the Lockpick Village, and there were people waiting outside the door when we opened up in the morning. Okay, with the points competition, there were 39 possible locks, varying levels of difficulty, some very hard, some very easy. We had our third place winner. Is actually first time he ever picked a lock was this weekend. He's 17 years old. We have ruined him for life. Wes Klein. Second place in the points competition. All right, you must know that in the points competition, it was tied when time expired. The bastards did it to me on purpose. It was down to Chris Pinnikoff and Sam Duffley. We had a pickoff. The pickoff resulted in Chris Pinnikoff winning the competition and Sam Duffley taking second. Great job, guys. All right. And now the skills competition. Skills competition involved three rounds of picking of locks, and these are the ones you saw in the contest area. And the first two rounds, one was a deadbolt, one was a doorknob, and the fastest time on the deadbolt was 56 seconds, I believe, and the fastest time on the doorknob was 25 seconds, and neither one of those people won the finals. However, for the first time and the fastest and the closest competition ever in the 5 years of lockpicking at DEF CON, it came down to two guys as to who could get the door open the fastest. There were three locks on the tower, deadbolt, doorknob, and a padlock. Okay, this should make you feel real comfortable about what you have on the front of your door at home. All right. So, first of all, for third place, Chris Pinnikoff took third place.
Great job.
Second and first place, again, came down to trying to get the door open. The second place time was 3 minutes and 33 seconds for three locks. So average of 1 minute and 11 seconds. That was Steve Beck. Okay, Steve got trapped by the hasp on the padlock piece. That's otherwise, it might have been a dead tie. But Skyler Town, 3 minutes and 30 seconds for all three locks. Please come back next year. Please push for that more space. And the black badge, thank you, Jeff. The black badge goes to Skyler Town.
As far as my technique is concerned, I really only have two things to say. One, I use all homemade tools made by the homebrew picking community. The homebrew picks work better than commercial picks every time. And the only other thing I have to say is that about 13 months ago, I didn't know how a lock worked. So I expect to see him up here next year. Thank you.
Quick thank you to University of Advancing Technology and to the Irvine Underground for the contributions of prizes this year. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, so the next contest has by far turned out to be our most popular. I know that when Lost Boy created this idea, he had no idea what was going to happen with this. It was like, well, I want to give this a shot and see what happens. He's got a lot of fanboys now. So I'm going to call up Lost Boy and talk about the Mystery Box contest. If you have not tried the Mystery Box challenge, you are missing the point of DEF CON. This thing kicks ass.
So, I'm lost. I get the joke a lot. I've heard it a million times at DEF CON already this year. Those of you who hate me already for what I did to you this year, wait till you see what I got planned for next year. Okay, only at DEF CON could you be presented with two boxes, and one of them eat up most of your time in a competition, and the other actually seem like it's no big deal, and I'd like to show those to you. And I have extra copies of this year's contest boxes to present to Dark Tangent. You'll notice the large metal box, several circuits, a lot of locks, and a simple cardboard box. And I think most people this year hate this box and love that. And I'm going to tell you why. This year, the contest, I threw the teams a curveball. Everybody came prepared for hardware-based stuff, which it is a hardware-based competition, but I really try and pull on every aspect of the hacker community so that you had to have a well-rounded team. You couldn't do this by yourself because nobody's an expert in all of these areas, not at the level that we see here. Inside this box this year, the teams received a piece of paper with a code. And for those of you who are wondering what type of code it was, after most of the teams already know, it was a one-time pad. Okay? So if you've ever tried to do frequency analysis on a one-time pad, come talk to me. We've got some things to discuss. So I had to give you a method of getting the pad's key, or you couldn't get through the contest. Well, first of all, I can't believe how heavy-handed I was and how many people missed this clue. What is this? This is a pad. It says pad on the back. It has an equation on the first page that's 1 times the number 21. Okay, this was to lead people to that it was a one-time pad. Second thing they had in here, they had a set of the entire alphabet with every letter inside of a book, except for the letter E. This was to indicate that the pad's key was contained in a book that was written that never uses the letter E. It took several teams many hours to find this, and I would like to point out that Grifter actually noticed this fact roughly 15 minutes into the competition and never knew what to do with it. Okay. So, they had to determine that the book here contained the key for the one-time pad here. And by the way, really quickly, for those of you who were wondering, that's an anagram of the name of the book. This is a picture from the website that contains the full text. These two numbers are the same number, and nobody seemed to get that. It's the same number in different number bases. I switched it so that it looked like a phone number and had a red rotary dial phone sitting at the table. And most of the teams wasted between 1 and 4 hours dialing numbers on my phone. Okay. So, they had to get through this box to get the instructions on how to receive the mystery box this year, the real box, not this. And I have one for Tangent here. Part of the problem is I kept out two boxes with a set of keys, and someone has stolen the keys. So I'm giving Jeff a box that I don't have the keys for. So if you want to have some of these teams help you get into the box this year, I'm going to take it up here. I'm going to show it to you really quickly. I know everyone's tired. I'm tired too. But I put a lot of my life into this past year. So I actually wound up making 30 and bringing 25 with me because my car's springs couldn't take the weight of the rest of the boxes. So we actually had 21 teams competing this year. I start every January now. I started the design in January. I went through four revisions. The first revision I thought was too easy. The second revision I made harder, still thought it was too easy. So I made a third revision that I could not get into myself, even with the key. So I had to go back, and this is revision four. I would also like to point out to all of the teams that brute forced the locks this year that you've got 17-year-old kids picking locks after, what was it, 30 minutes or something? Yeah, utilize those guys. There were several teams that went through, I think it was six drill bits, breaking their bits off on these. These are solid steel, hardened. Okay, so here's the initial box, and I've got kind of a gotcha for the rest of the teams, and I'm going to save that for a second. When they were presented the box, it was done in private. We did it kind of like a Skull and Bones type thing. We had a sheet held up and called you into the secret meeting where I would say, I have to prep the box. You guys need to stay outside the curtain. And I would set it up and they would hear beeping noises. It was really to build the suspense. They would come in, we would put the sheet up behind them, and I would say, now you can't touch the box until you watch it cycle once, and then be very careful. I mean, I sold the whole thing very well. It was very masterful social engineering, if I don't say so myself. So, here's the gist of what they got. This box was sitting on a chair. There is an LCD at the top. The LCD is giving them instructions to the fact that they cannot attack this circuit until they have the instructions. The problem is the instructions are inside this box. The wires go around through the locks and through these tubes, which hold a steel plate. And I'd open it, but as I said before, I don't have the key right now. Since it was sitting down, and they were told they couldn't touch it at first, they had to wait through all of the instructions, which also indicated that there was a tilt sensor on this box. If they tilted it in any direction, the box began to squeal and told them to turn it back up to right it. Now, the real problem is I would finally ask them the question, you've been given a box with instructions on the inside, but I told you you can't touch my wires. So they had to go through the bottom while the box was not tilted. Now, if you've lifted one of these, they weigh about 25 pounds. So it was meant to just be a real pain in the butt. They had to go through this pancake lock on the bottom to get the set of instructions that would tell them how to decode this circuit on the top. That set of instructions was a picture of a spiral. That was to indicate a Fibonacci sequence. They had to go through the Fibonacci sequence with the wires, all except for the last bit, which was the tilt sensor. The way I indicated the port on the board is I did the Arby's logo and took off the apostrophe S because it was the RB port. And I think several of the teams got it and some didn't. Now, the spiral ended with two sets of playing cards that indicated blackjack, or 21, which is in the Fibonacci sequence. Finally, after those cards, was a DeLorean, which indicates what number? Thank you. It's from Back to the Future. So, Fibonacci sequence with the wires, through 21, 88, circuits disarmed, have fun with the physical side. When they got to the inside of the top... Yeah, because they thought they were in when they went through the bottom, it was a false plate. So you didn't actually have access to the inside through the bottom. So when they got to the inside this way, there was a small baggie that contained some electronic components, a raw circuit board, and a bunch of superfluous crap, like I did last year. It's the aliens with the sword you saw earlier were in these boxes. Yeah. The signal-to-noise ratio in this contest is very, very high. The circuit that was described, I drew it with pictures to indicate certain things, like an ear of corn to indicate where an earphone would go for an ear. So ultimately what they were building is a circuit that would listen for light that was being modulated. Then they had to come back to my contest table, and you all saw all the skulls I had on the table. Those were to throw them off of the fact that this skull, which was half covered and painted black to be very unnoticed, so they wouldn't notice it, had an LED hiding behind the eye patch that was actually sending out an audio signal through the light telling them a phone number to dial on my favorite red phone. By the way, if you look down on your badge, the very last dial, that's a rotary dial. I think a lot of the younger guys probably didn't even know what the hell that was. That's a fully functional rotary phone that I bought off eBay, took the guts out. It's got an MP3 player in it now. So anyway, they had to listen, get the phone number, call the phone number, which gave them one more clue to get a final phone number to give me a password. They'd finish the box.
And that's it.
Last year, the first team won in 2 hours, 30 minutes. This year, the team that came in first place did so in 22 hours and 30 minutes. I know we're in kind of a hurry, so if I could have the members of Team Security Catalyst, Tarleton's, and everyone come up here, please. I waited till they're up here because I'm going to save this for the favorite part. Renderman actually just mentioned something. There was a little bit of controversy about this contest that a lot of people don't know about. Two of the teams had actually registered separately in the intent of working together, that they would have a prototype to mess with and do experiments on and have a good box that they could go with. And they claimed that they socially engineered me. Now I'd like to tell them a little secret of my own. There's a story you always hear about where you can take a baby elephant and you can tie a chain around its leg and it will pull and it can't break that chain. And it will be conditioned and learn that it can't break that chain. So as an adult, you can take a very thin rope that it could easily break, tie it to a tree, and the elephant won't even try to pull against it. Last year, the technical aspect of the boxes were that I could tell if they had disarmed the circuit, rebooted it, messed with it. I told them that was the case this year. Just so you guys know, you could have ignored the circuit altogether. So, eventually they found that out. But, you should... Okay, now they're all saying, oh yeah, we knew. If you were in the contest area and you saw this... You're welcome.
All right.
Third place team finished at 12:43 p.m. on Saturday. We started Friday at 1 o'clock. This team, Security Catalyst, give them a hand. It was a lot of work, guys. The second place team, I have to give a hard time to because several of them are my students. They actually had the solution before the first place team, and they did their math wrong. Ouch. Team Tarleton's, give them a hand. I'm constantly preaching the gospel of hardware, so I thought it was applicable that this year for the winning team, which I have now been told has called themselves Team Everyone, is going to be the first recipient, if I can get it out here, of a trophy that I made. It is the Golden Wrench. And, of course, the black badge.
I just wanted to say something real quick. This turned out to be four teams. We all joined forces. Like you said, it takes all different skill sets to do this. And so as we were going through it, we were figuring out we need, you know, help from this person, that person, or whatever. There's about 20 of us and one badge. So to avoid drama and all of that, we all started talking, and we noticed here this badge says Uber. And this contest is great, and we love it, and we think the most Uber person on this stage is this man right here. So, the loss.
I think you can go now.
What?
Well, no.
All right, so I'd like to ask Wynn to come up for Hacker Jeopardy. This one of our long-time additions contests that are here. I'm not sure why he's waddling up here. Did somebody hurt him last night?
No, that's the beer was the cushion. Thank you very much. Thanks. You guys have been amazing. Last night's Hacker Jeopardy was the best ever in terms of standing room only attendance. And the winners, please come on up and just stand behind me for a minute. Hacker Jeopardy was an accident that Jeff and I had over drinks at DEF CON 1. And I bitched at him about how boring DEF CON was. He says, what do you want to do about it? I said, well, do a game. What game? I said, oh, Hacker Jeopardy. And suddenly, 15 years later, we're still doing it. Thanks to you guys. Give yourselves a hand. It's been a great 15 years. G-Mark, come on up, please. All right, on Hacker Jeopardy, there's good news. And there's some fucking bad news. But we're going to get to that. We're doing a couple things. We have Ryan and Corny helped out this year. They're going to be part of the team stand-up, and they're going to be with us every single year. I'm sorry for my voice, but I lost it all last night. We got DOS'd at Jeopardy last night by the drunken whores. They decided that they were going to attack the game by playing with the rules, and they went after the beer, and they did 27 beers in 19 minutes. Two of them survived. And the other great news was Banshee. She raised more money, I believe, single-handedly for the EFF than anybody. Somehow, you stupid asses actually paid to go to the dunk tank. 300 of you paid to go to the dunk tank, and there was a totally unplanned, accidental, not on purpose wardrobe malfunction. So that's all the good news. Is G-Mark here at all, or is he already gone? All right. Now the bad news. These guys are the dumbest winners in the history of Jeopardy. It was so bad, for Final Jeopardy, we actually rewrote the question live and added 12 additional clues, and they still didn't fucking get it. So, as a result, we are changing a couple rules for next year. We're going to change the beer to be a pseudo-random beer drinking where you don't know whether you get plus or negative points for all of your drinking. Oh, yeah. And we're going to begin, courtesy of Corny, we're going to do online qualifications to keep these kind of guys out. With that, they unfortunately did play by the rules, which we are now modifying. They are going to get their black badges, and if they have the balls to come back next year, Billy Goto and Bobcat are waiting, and they're going to kick your fucking ass next year. Thanks so much for 15 years of this, guys. Congratulations. Team Kumquat.
You'll notice Wynn ran off the stage before you had a chance to throw anything.
The really sad part is that we sucked the least. That's the problem.
All right, I've got one contest left. Capture the flag. I'd like to have the Ken Shoto guys up, please. Holy crap. They got more people helping than playing. And there's 8 teams playing. All right.
So, first and foremost, I'd like to thank the guys who we have so many of. Pour our drinks, wear our ugly shirts. The Gophers, can Shoto Gophers first? So, Invisigoth last year made the comment that DEF CON 14 hosted the first international Capture the Flag. That's true. This year, we had teams from 3 continents. Teams from Spain, France, Switzerland, Korea. A lot of them had issues with visas.
Sorry, have to keep
last year, this year, right, went a little bit smoother. Our qualification round consisted of about 160 teams. Several hundred sign-ups, 160 teams actually participated. The top seven, as well as the previous winner, last place, are here. All right, so these are the best guys sitting out here waiting to find out who won. The mechanics of the game, there were the ability to steal information from a computer, the ability to control or override information, and for research, we would give a reward to those first able to complete a task like steal or overwrite for each of the 20 custom services that we spent the last 6 to 9 months writing. We ran on FreeBSD 6.2 this year, which made the teams a whole lot happier than Solaris last year.
Speak up!
So, the top team finished with a total of 2,800 points, not counting breakthroughs. That means they stole 2,800 pieces of information from their opponents. The next team came in at only 2,200. Let's see what else we got. No, I'm working on it. So, just the team's excellent showing this year. We were all very impressed. We got a lot of opportunity to interact with them. So, just to list everybody off, the Routards came out of France and Switzerland this year, first-time competitors, I believe. Excellent showing. 40 Thieves, also excellent, or OX28 Thieves, as they wrote it. So apparently if you need to get into your skybox and you don't have your kit anymore, they're the guys to talk to, as we found out this year. Song of Freedom from Korea, second-time competitor, also a very strong showing. They overcome, all of these foreign teams overcome a very strong language barrier and put up with us being not knowing their language at all and do an excellent job. Our wives are pissed. who I believe last year were censored from an AP article. So they were very strong in the overwrite category specifically, having nearly as many overwrites as the winning team, but
falling behind in research and steals. Fed Naughty again, another second time competitor. Same situation, but with steals. Very, very strong on steals. The Sexy Pandas, first time competitor, are out of Spain and scored the first blood of the game. I think it was within 20, 25 minutes. School of Root. Second place. I've used the word strong way too many times, but the only thing that failed them this year is the thing that fails them every year, which is their service level. They had the most breakthrough, the most research points out of any team, bar none. And, of course, the winner, last place, same as last year, captained by Atlas. You guys come up here and get your banner.
Last place. I'm totally falling asleep here, so I wrote some notes just in case we won. Forgive me. I'd like to just start off saying thank you very much to several people. First of all, my family. Sorry, guys. Thank you very much to Ken Shoto. These guys write like an entire Linux kernel and operating system each freaking year. And they do so without pay. Thank you. These guys are elite. I'd like to also thank all the other teams. As I said, it was a strong showing. Truly, we came into this competition going, who do we fear? Holy crap. We watched the quals. We kind of lagged back because we didn't want to impact the quals. Yeah, they rocked. Thank you very much, DEF CON folks, goons, all that stuff. Really, really helpful. And my hand-selected team, who I chose just as much on their personality as for their technical prowess. Shuriken, Fury, Masendo, Plato, Cypher, J-Rod, Cyphertex, nicknames. Werfer, and my co-captain or second-in-command, Doc Brown. Thank you.
I would like to point out that the team members don't just get the black badge, but they also get the uber cool DEF CON leather jacket. Alright? So, if you want to try and get one of these, you should try and play. That's what it's all about. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay, I have two brief announcements, and then we're going to shut this thing down with a wedding. what do we got? We've got, if you're doing the Hackers on a Plane thing tomorrow, we need you to all meet in room 114 at 6 o'clock in about 20 minutes or so to get everything coordinated for Hackers on a Plane tomorrow. And what's the other one? Oh, yes. It did so well, this whole spot the undercover reporter thing. That was such a...
that brought so much joy to all of us, didn't it? We want to institute it as a for real contest next year. So we haven't figured out the prizes or anything, but if you do see people lurking around with concealed video cameras, little lockets that are microphones hanging around their breasts, I mean, I'm going to guess who the undercover agents are next year. They're going to be the blonde women that all the guys just kind of drool over. So, you want a quick word? Okay, so keep your eyes out. Next year we'll have the announcement online, and we'll have a Spot the Undercover Reporter. It's all part of our plan to force them to come out of the woodwork and be visible like all the rest of us, especially the feds who are getting married on stage. You know, they're giving up their secret identity for marital bliss. That's valuable.
Something to say. So, just before we kick over to the wedding, just one last thing and one last person to thank. I'd like everyone to put it together for Jeff. 15 years of Death God.
I wasn't doing anything anyway, so I thought I'd throw a party. Okay, so can we have Special Agent Andrew Fried and his bride-to-be Laura Askey come on up? Come on.
Well, this is a real honor for myself. My name is Reverend Bill Peterson. I've been in Vegas since 1975. And throughout that time, I discovered that Nevada is a unique state. 90% of the landmass is controlled by the feds. According to the Code of Federal Regulations, it's a requirement that if someone's at a meeting, they can ask the question, are there any federal agents here? And they have to stand up. So are there any federal agents here besides the bride and groom? Come on. All kidding aside, it is a tremendous honor to be here at DEF CON. I've been at the Riviera Wedding Chapel since 1990. I've seen everything at least two or three times, but this is a first for me. I'd like to introduce Andy Fried and his future bride, Laura Askey. Give them a warm welcome. Some of the famous people that I've married over the years, there's been quite a few, but the one that stands out the most was at a Jan and Dean concert at the Stardust Hotel. Jan and Dean were singing, and right at the intermission, there were 2,500 fans in the audience standing up, drinking beer, yelling and screaming. I married Jan to his Canadian girlfriend, and someone in the audience yelled out, "Don't do it." So please hold your applause and comments until the end of the service. What you could do is cheer them on when they're doing that prolonged kiss. All kidding aside, both the ladies, Catherine in the back and John, there's the best man and the maid of honor. As you notice, the bride, Laura, she has a rose. Throughout the awards ceremony, the rose petals fell off. Anyway, Laura told me she wanted a quick service. Well, we're getting there. Andy, do you want her? You got her. Laura, do you want Andy? You got him. Now, I try to get some information from them before the service because I like to know who I'm marrying. And all Andy could say is, you don't have a need to know. I got a lot more out of Laura. It's important to realize that the two of you, when you leave this platform, are no longer going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. I did find out, though, that they, way beyond the average couple, they know more about each other because I found out that they both hacked into each other's hardware. And that's why we're here today. Andy fell in love with her software. So John and Catherine, please step forward with the rings. Take her rose. Give her the ring. Okay, this is your last chance to hold your ring. That's right. The ring in your hand is yours. It's your symbol, your token. You're going to exchange rings. You'll wind up wearing each other's ring. It'll always be your partner's ring that you're wearing. For twofold reasons. To let you know, and society to know, when you're out in public, that you're married. It's a public notice. Do not trespass. Secondly, more importantly, it's for you to remind yourself every morning when you wake up, you stand in the mirror, you see yourself, you're brushing and combing, you notice the ring. It's going to remind you of today, August the 5th of 2007, at DEF CON 15, that you stood here in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people and made a complete spectacle of yourself. But what I do suggest, all seriously aside, ask yourself silently this question. What can I do today to bless my mate? Let them know how much I care. Because we only live moment by moment, and everything in life is temporary. Tomorrow is never promised. So hold her hand now, Andy, and slip the ring on Laura's ring finger and repeat these words. With this ring, I seal my promises to you that I will be your faithful and loving husband forever. Yes, it is a long time. Okay, Laura, take his left hand, the one that's trembling. With this ring, I seal my promises to you, Andy, that I will be your faithful and loving wife forever and ever. Now, I forgot to mention, there's two kids still at home, both Rebecca and Harrison. They're about 10, 11, 12 years old. So when they see this videotape, they'll be real proud of their mom and dad. So without further ado, by the authority vested in me by the great state of Nevada, the Silver State, I do pronounce you two no longer boyfriend and girl, boyfriend. You are now husband and wife. Hugs and kisses. So next year, DEF CON 16, if there's any more couples, we might have a group wedding.
So that's it. Thank you very much.